He's been buried under a car park in Leicester for 527 years. And the fine must run into millions by now. I've been fascinated by the story of King Richard III, who was killed in the Battle of Bosworth in 1485. They started digging up the council car park last August, so the opportunity to go along now and have a look, well, that was just too good to miss. Leicester Cathedral, if you don't know it, is actually quite modest, and actually that adds something, I think, to the poignancy of this king in the car park. Just off the ring road in the centre of the city is the cathedral and the medieval guild hall dating back to the 1300s. You get a very warm welcome from a really great greeter. "Anything I can help you with?" she asks. "Well, yes, we've come to see Richard III. Is he in?" There's a plaque in the choir area and the seats that the Queen sat on during her Diamond Jubilee visit. And across the churchyard, she points out the coffee shop, always a good thing. And in the Guildhall, an exhibition on Richard and the search for him. And best of all, the actual car park, less than 100 metres away. So we wander over to take a look at the car park, and a security guard in his high-vis jacket puts his hand up and says, "Sorry, it's a private car park, you can't come in." "Well, we just want to see where the king was," we explain. "Well, he was over there, actually, 20 metres away, underneath that marquee tent, but you're not allowed to look at it." "Well, I don't want to look at it, I just want a photo of it." "Well, you're not allowed to take one." "Hang on, what if I stand at the entrance and take a photo?" "Well, I can't stop you doing that." So I did. God bless him. The world is full of silly rules, and that poor fella has to insist on that one. I love the way the whole digging up the king in the car park has set us off wanting to know more. It's extraordinary that someone did the research and made an educated guess, and that if the Greyfriars Church was around about here, then in all probability Richard would have been buried close to the choir stalls, and that would be about here. So let's dig a trench right about there where that car park space is, and lo and behold, there he was on the very first day of searching. His bent spine, injuries to the head and body from the battle wounds. The Battle of Bosworth on that summer's day of August the 22nd, 1485, was a short, bloody and decisive affair. It also has intrigues, plots, betrayal, and it's the very last battle when an English king was killed in the fight. There are three armies. Hang on, how can you have a battle with three armies? Well, you've got King Richard with at least 10 or 12,000 soldiers, and you've got Henry Tudor with a whole lot less. And then Lord Stanley, who's been summoned by Richard, but who changed sides at the crucial moment and altered the outcome of the fight within minutes. How can you change sides? Ah, you see, that's all politics, and that's all built into the wonderful story of Richard III. His naked body after the battle was brought back into Leicester on the back of a horse or a cart so that everyone could see that he was dead. And after 2 or 3 days, they buried him and he was pretty much forgotten. Henry Tudor found the crown in a hawthorn hedge and he was duly crowned king. Now, Richard's reign was only 2 years, but he's actually one of the best known English kings in history. He's known as the Hunchback King, the Lord Protector who seized the throne and supposedly had the princes in the tower murdered at the age of 9 and 12. It's bad enough murdering children. It's not on when they're the heirs to the throne. History, though, is usually written by the winners, and the Tudors painted Richard as a horror. Well, his apologists now would say that just as easily could have been Henry Tudor who got rid of the princes in the tower. And anyway, Richard enacted some useful new laws to encourage trade and legal rights. Who cares? An awful long time ago. But history is made by people. And King Richard would absolutely love the way we are discussing him right now all across the world. Henry VII, who won the day, is massively overshadowed in all of this. He never was a very charismatic king anyway. He reformed the financial state of the crown, yes, and he ended the Wars of the Roses through a lucky win at Bosworth and some clever politicking afterwards. But it's Richard, with his unusual look, his short and dramatic reign and his bloody end, made famous by Shakespeare's line, "A horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse!" That's who we want to see now. Who could have guessed that that phrase would one day become, "A car! A car! My resting place, a car park!" The car park king will have people flocking to Leicester for years and years, and I bet it won't be long till that high-vis attendant is replaced by someone as helpful and as enthusiastic as the cathedral greeter or the Guildhall staff. Who knows?